And thank you, Logan, for these thoughts. Deductive reasoning. Me, Spirit of God. Me, actionist. Thought-provoking, I hate to erase it here, thought-provoking opening meditations. I think if we take the Word of God and we can deduct it down to reality, it will help us figure out where we are. What a blessing. Not sure if that A should be capitalized. I think maybe it shouldn't, should it? Somehow I don't even remember here. Is that right? The A shouldn't be capitalized. How to listen to a sermon. Well, the Lord's blessings to each one of you today. I'm not sure that I've ever heard a message on how to listen to a sermon. And I'm not sure that anyone here needs to or not. Surely we never need to again after one, I wouldn't think. But if we can all just stand here for a word of prayer, that would be a blessing. Father, it is with joy that we worship you. We lift our voice. It is deep within our hearts, Lord, that we once again are touched by all that you are, and we want to be touched in a deeper way. Father, you know how it came to be. You know how how it came to be that what's on our heart today. You know all about it, Lord, and we leave it with you. We just ask, Lord, that somehow this can feed the sheep of your pasture, that somehow we can be strengthened and encouraged, even through what seems like a topic that is not the most necessary. So would you just continue to be with us and anoint our words and our thoughts here today. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, for some reason, the Lord is trying my... He's speaking into my life in different ways. And one of them he's doing is just with our motives. And I'm not sure that I understand all that. But I do think that he wants me to share this little account as we open this morning. And I think this little account is definitely not scriptural. I mean, it's not written in the Word of God. But I think it has a lesson for us. And I think I'll just say, as we're just blessed at all the effort that everyone has put into the coming week. And we're thankful. And I just think over and over, I look at my, we can examine our heart and we think, who are we doing it for? Are we doing it for ourselves, for others, or are we doing it for God, for Jesus Christ? And you know, if we're doing it for Jesus Christ, and I think we are, it's a tremendous blessing. So this story comes to my mind a lot, and I'm not sure that I've ever shared it here, but this account goes like this. Jesus was walking with his disciples, and he was teaching them, and they were walking along the way, and he told them to all stop and pick up a stone. Well, Peter picks up this really little stone, and John picks up a little bigger one. And so they all pick up a stone, but they keep on walking, and they're making their way up higher and higher, and they're climbing a mountain. And when they get to the top of the mountain, Jesus says, tells them all to sit down, and then he takes and he turns the stone into bread. So whatever size of stone they picked up is the amount they have for bread. And they were hungry and they were tired. And so Peter didn't have much. He just picked up this little stone. And so it goes on. At a later time, they were walking along, and Jesus again told his disciples to pick up a stone. Well, Peter, he, thinking about this other time when he didn't have enough bread, and John had to share with him, he picks up this big old rock. And he's carrying it along, and they carried it for a while. And then pretty soon Jesus says, okay, everyone take their rock and throw it in the river. And Peter looks at him like he's almost hurt. And Jesus looks at him and says, who were you carrying the rock for? For yourself or for me? And somehow that little story, as made up as it is, it can go pretty deep into our hearts and help us discover what some of our motives are as to what we're doing. Concerning our love and devotion for God and to God, is it okay to sometimes stop and examine our motives? How can we know our deeper motives? Are we serving God because His attributes often end up blessing us personally? Or is He truly worthy to be loved for God just who He is? Just for God being who He is. Just for God being who He is, He deserves all the things He's created, all of their everything that they have to give all the time. So, it's good that we, again here, look at our motives. Do we serve Him because His attributes often end up blessing us personally? Or is He truly worthy to be loved and served? Do we love and obey God for His sake or for our own benefit? An honest appraisal of our hearts will often reveal that our seeking of God has been more a seeking for certain blessings and benefits from God rather than a seeking of God Himself. Now this can sound like splitting hairs. May God help us. May God refine our motives. But it's easy to seek God for blessings and benefits rather than seeking God Himself. These next words can be convicting words. Someone has said about a group of people, he said, they respect God as master, but their heart does not belong to Him. They are not really interested in God, except in order to insure themselves against losing heaven and going to hell. In actual practice, their hearts and minds are taken up with their own ambitions, troubles, comforts and pleasures, and all their worldly interests, anxieties, and fears. God is only invited to enter this charmed circle to smooth out difficulties and to dispense blessings and rewards. When our focus shifts from the beloved to ourselves, life and joy begin to disappear. Again, those are some of the things that God's been doing in my heart, and He needs to continue. Now, I do want to say this morning that there's a greater work to be done in the messenger up here this morning than there is to you as the people of God who listen. So this message, how to listen to a sermon, to put it into reality, this is not a message that I feel is needed here in many ways. I believe I'm talking to a group of people that do an amazing job of listening to ministers, listening to me up here that doesn't always have all of his thoughts together and hasn't done all the homework you would like to do. And I would just say that I'm not sure if there's ever been a message I've shared that I've felt has been complete. A message is something that I just keep working on and working on until they're just, even as you're reading, there's thoughts that come that would add to this message. And a message is a work of art that is never complete. It's never finished. It doesn't seem like it ever is all conclusive. Hardly ever does it accomplish what we all wish it would. So to help lay a foundation this morning. So, how to listen to a sermon is our title message this morning. How do we practice being alert, intentional listeners? And I had to think, the Lord knows how this came to be, but I had to think after next week there will probably be at least 16 more sermons on our website. And I had to wonder, John, how many messages are on our website? And I don't know that it matters, but we listen to a lot of sermons. There's a lot of sermons that end up being part of our life. And I think it's something that God wants us to consider here today. You know, so much, we'll get into some of that later. The whole thing of preaching should have had its own message. It is absolutely amazing that God uses preaching to do what He does. It is amazing. As 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the wisdom, the world, maybe I don't have it down here right. Let me turn to it here in my Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. I just want to make sure I don't misread it here. Yeah. It says, For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And that is really amazing when you stop and think about it. There should be a whole message just about the foolishness of preaching and how God uses it. We see the wisdom of God and how He uses preaching in the world. By using preaching, God, you know, there's a few things that came to me. He delays the revelation of the gospel to mankind. You know, so somehow preaching goes out, but it's not really an all-in-your-face affront to everyone that hears it. I'm not sure if that makes any sense. I just had to think of all the scam calls and all the different ways that the world tries to get us to buy into their things. And they're in their face and they're calling you and they're putting pressure on at times and whatnot. But see, preaching doesn't always do that. I just see the wisdom of God and how He's chosen to reveal this gospel to the world through preaching. It's a different method than the world would use. And yet, it's way more important than any message the world has. And sometimes it seems like, why didn't God just take this gospel and force people to believe it? You know, God wouldn't do that. That's just not the way God is. But it's amazing how God uses preaching. The second one is, He gives man ample opportunity to test the insufficiency of his own reasoning. So many times man sits there and he hears the truth and man thinks. And he hears the truth again and man thinks. But God gives man ample opportunity to let himself be convinced that his reasoning and his thinking is wrong. And that this is true. And that what God's word says is true, but man's reasoning is wrong. And somehow through preaching, God, and the wisdom of God, He gives man ample opportunity to just let man come to that decision himself. You know what? My thinking, my reasoning is wrong, but the Word of God is true. The third thing I would say here is He gives man ample opportunity to use his own worldly wisdom to work out his own misery. And as man's misery grows, through preaching, God continues to convince man, you know what? What God says is true. As man's misery grows, the truth starts looking better, does it not? Number four, God first teaches every man his weakness through preaching. Somehow through preaching, everyone, before they can get right with God, they are convinced of their weakness. The facts that are preached are successful, not because of an excellent vessel up here preaching them or eloquent, expedient words, but they're successful because it's the Word of God. And God uses these facts in a powerful way. It don't have to be someone well known for God to use them. It don't have to be said with eloquence or whatnot. May God help us. We want to grow in these ways. But as Paul says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I'm just amazed. There's more that could be said there, how God uses preaching to do that. God teaches every man of his weakness through preaching. He convinces us that we are nothing through his preaching, if that makes any sense. Number five, God preaches to the wisdom in man's foolishness. In other words, there's not too many men that don't think they're pretty wise or pretty smart, are there? I mean, it's not normal for you to be walking down the street and find this man that says, "Oh, I'm foolish." I mean, I don't know. I want to watch how I say that, but deep within, you walk up and you call someone a fool. You'll find out how wise he thinks he is. But somehow God uses preaching, and he convinces man of his own foolishness through preaching. Salvation is by faith, not wisdom. And it's amazing that through this preaching, anyone, you don't have to have a college degree, everyone it's possible for all to be saved through this preaching. Preaching states facts and truth, not theories and reasonings. You know, when I look at the Word of God, I see it wrong, but I just see a book of facts. When the Word of God says it, that is exactly how it is. And there's no use trying to reason or do anything with it. Because it's a book of preaching just says it how it is. It's truth and facts. There's not theories and reasonings. And what's amazing to me is when you study it closer, the Bible states facts that often rouse contempt and hatred in the listener. I think of the Jews. The Jew didn't want a suffering Messiah, and the Greek could not understand a crucified God. So many times this foolish preaching of facts, it brings contempt and hatred. It causes those things to rise up in the heart of man. Is that not the wisdom of God? Is that not the wisdom of God? As the Bible says, for the Jews require a sign in 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 22, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And so this preaching of a God that was crucified makes no sense to the worldly wise. Now here, I think we'll just continue on in how to listen to a sermon. Luke chapter 8, verse 18, I think has some amazing words. Jesus is teaching here, and we could expound on the scriptures before and after that, and it would be a blessing. But my heart was to not make this a shorter Sunday here with a full week coming. So I think we'll just read this scripture. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. It says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." And to me, those are just amazing words. And the words that follow are just as amazing. It says, "For whoever hath," in other words, whoever is really hearing, "to him shall be given. And whoever is not hearing, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." And the word "seemeth" there is also really interesting when you look at this Greek word in the scripture. But true possessions, truly used, always increase. Think of that. True possessions, hearing, true possessions, always truly used, always increase. Truly used, always increase. While untrue possessions vanish, and then when it starts going the other way, it seems like even what you think you have, you end up not having. It's an interesting principle that the Word of God has here. Now, I have quite a few scriptures this whole thing about ears and hearing, and I think maybe we'll just read them. It's the Word of God. Maybe we'll just read them here before we get started into this message. laying a foundation here of how to listen to a sermon. Matthew 13:15. It says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." Now, wax is something amazing. Now, I remember when did people ever put wax on meat to preserve it? Does anyone know? But I remember when Mom used wax on top of jelly and preservatives to preserve them. And wax is an amazing, it's an amazing thing. But imagine having a heart that has wax, a layer of wax all the way around our heart. That is, that's really something. And it says, "And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Now verse 16 goes on and says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." And verse 17 in Matthew 13, if I didn't give that reference, it says, "For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them." And this scripture again made me stop and think. Listen to what Jesus is saying here. He's saying there's a lot of men, a lot of righteous men that wanted to hear and see what you have the opportunity to hear and see, and they have not. They have not heard and seen them. That is amazing. It says, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." So, if we can just for a moment thank God for the blessing of His Word and being able to hear it being preached. I think that would be the first principle that I think needs to grow in my life. It has been a blessing that every time I have the opportunity to hear the Word of God preached, I think it's a principle that we can practice to cherish, how to listen to a sermon. We have no idea how blessed we are to get to hear the Word of God preached just one time. But we hear it preached over and over and over to the point that it seems like it goes in one ear and out the other. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. We do still meet people that have never had the opportunity to hear the Word of God preached. They've never had that opportunity. They desire to hear the Word of God preached. So I think we're wise to periodically evaluate our hearing of the Word of God. Am I hearing? Because there's other scriptures that I don't think I put in here. I think Mark 4:24 in a different translation and whatnot. But it talks about, I'm losing my train of thought here, but it talks about us doing what we do with what we have and how it depends on us getting more, if I remember right. And I didn't put some of those scriptures in here. If we listen with carelessness, it can be a sign of spiritual lethargy, indifference to our own growth and spiritual vitality. Hearing, my dear brothers and sisters, I know you know this, and I think you're very, very good hearers, but somehow, I think, I just had a glimpse this morning, all those sermons on our website, and I picture me standing before God. What kind of responsibility will I have that we have all of this preaching right at our fingertips? It's right there. What kind of responsibility does that bring into my life? Hearing the Word of God, somehow it brings responsibility. Mark 7:16 says, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." If we have ears to hear, let's use them. 11:15, the same thing. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And there's just so many scriptures. I think we'll just go on here that we could go to talk about our hearing. And there'll be more of that later on here. There are various ways to listen to a sermon. You know, we can come in and we can get comfortable. We have, I grew up on wooden benches and they didn't have backs. And believe it or not, people fell asleep on those too. So, but the truth of the matter is, the way we come into this church service, the attitude of our heart, the way we see ourselves before God. If we're looking into eternity and we have a burden for our own life and a burden for other souls, it'll be hard to come in here and sit here and not be attentive. It just really will. But if we're full and we're satisfied and we have need of nothing and we're naked, as the Word of God says, then it's easy for us to come in here and this is after all, a church service is a really, really nice place to pass time. I mean, how many places are better? But yeah, I wonder what how I say all this. I can get pretty hard pretty fast. But I'm just saying, it's definitely a good place to come. But it's up to us many times in the attitude and the condition of our heart as to what we get from this service. How to listen to a sermon in one ear and out the other. It's easy for us to be in that mode and not even realize. Slouch back and catch up from all my falling behind and my work last week. C. Let the attitude there, are we done yet? Keep looking at the clock. What time is it? Are we through yet? We can come alert and prepared to allow the Word of God to speak to us. We can come full of faith, allowing God's Word to work for us. You know, I had to think of this. The children of Israel, y'all with me? I should have you maybe all stand. Sometimes I think a lot of it's up to us to keep y'all with me too. But the manna. How many of you are children? Remember the manna. How many of you are your children? It's probably I'm probably saying things way above your head here, and I shouldn't be. But the manna. It was really amazing how the Bible says that the manna was. It mentions honey. What does it say? It says, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey, so it was sweet. But somehow the children of Israel, it wasn't sweet to them. They loathed it. And I'm saying this, that this is how the Word of God can come to us if we're not careful. Now, some encouragement on things here. Again, how to listen to a sermon. Number one, purpose to not be a critical listener. The first point in this A is don't sit there and listen for all the mistakes. There are plenty. Don't try to find all the mistakes that are made and mispronouncing words there I just did. Grammar errors, awkward gestures, tongues, slips of the tongue, poor illustration, or facts that are even miscalculated or things that are said wrong. And I think you do an amazing job with that. I think that you come here and you really try to hear the heart, and that is really powerful. Because sometimes we come up here and we just blunder it all up. We just mess it all up. As long as humans are speaking, there will always be much room for growth and improvement in how they present the message and the sermon. Don't keep track of all the mistakes so you have something to talk about at the supper table tonight. Hopefully you can find something better than that to talk about. Number two, don't come as a heresy hound. The scribes and Pharisees were. They were heresy hounds. They attended many of Christ's preaching services, but they were there only to catch him in his talk. To be sure, we should be aware of false teaching from the pulpit, and we should be jealous of that, as we should everywhere else as well. But to come to church to catch someone in their talk is to come as the scribes and Pharisees did, and all you hear will be in vain. All we hear will be in vain. As Isaiah, I thought of the scripture in Isaiah 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. I think that is what God wants for us. To hear his voice behind us, saying, this is the way. Number three, don't be a sermon fitter. Except you should feel free to fit it to yourself. It's easy for us to come and we hear these things and we have these other people. We think, oh, this fits right here. Or this size is for him. Or don't be a sermon fitter, except Feel free to fit it to yourself. Don't look the whole congregation over trying to figure out whom it may have been meant for, looking to see if just maybe they're getting it, or maybe it was meant for you. Maybe it was meant for you. It would be the best to assume that it was meant for me. There are so many people fitting so many things into others' lives. A listener to God's Word has no need to match the sermon to God's people. The Sunday service doesn't need matchers and fitters, except maybe on ourselves. Number four, purpose to not be a sermon taster. We must remark, dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters, that this taste of ours in this life is often imperfect. Many times, I know many of you fasted this week, and that was a tremendous privilege, but somehow when we break our fast, food doesn't normally taste quite as good as we thought it was before, do it? Somehow our taste buds are not always accurate, and it's this way as we taste sermons. How often do we have a taste for things in a sermon that we really need? If it was left to us, we would often get on a hobby horse and we would get on subjects that we really like and we would take those to an extreme. God knows much better what we need than we do, but we like to indulge in our favorite topics. Often we compare sermons and compare speakers. We taste them and rate them on a scale from 1 to 10, as if we were a judge in a sermon contest. And I don't think God has called us to be sermon judges or sermon tasters in that way. Don't listen with the mind of a dabbler, in and out, mainly savoring the style and flavor and rating them by their color and how well they're polished and slicked up. You know, it's easy to try to do that to sermons, and some sermons aren't that way. Some sermons aren't all polished and slicked up. Sermons should be heard with a desire to profit by them. Remember, the object of a sermon is to feed the people of God and to allow the Word of God to continue to change and transform our lives. The aim is that God would continue His transformation in every life, or at least bring you back to the road where His work can continue. If we sincerely want to get closer to God and we want to grow in grace and knowledge and in the likeness of Christ, then God can use the sermon if you do your part by listening. Almost every sermon has scripture or has something. And I had the thought too, you know, if a sermon is really that far out and it's really boring and there's really nothing in it, guess what God can use it for? He can even use it to grow our patience. If nothing else, He can work good things in our patience. But hopefully, most messages are better than that, hopefully. We did see a shirt, I think it was maybe at the Miami airport or something. It says something like, My patience was tested, I'm negative. Is that right? My patience was tested, I'm negative. Something like that. I thought that was kind of interesting. Now, we'll continue on here. How to listen to a sermon. The life, health, and growth of our soul is tied into how well we listen. We've covered some of that. So we're going to share quite a bit here on listening, because we get to do it a lot. Listen with a mind prepared by prayer and expectation. You know, it's really something. We don't always think about it, but when we come into the church service and our heart is engaged in the worship, and may we grow in that. I would like to encourage our singing here to continue to open up our hearts and sing from our hearts to God. For years, that's been a blessing here, and may it continue. But if we come and we wholeheartedly engage in prayer and worship before, our hearts will be much better prepared for the sermon. It just really is. There's very little that can prepare our hearts the way the prayer and the singing before does. Listen with a sympathetic mind. You know, this is just a poor human being up here. that needs God just as bad as anyone else. Be ahead of the speaker and understand what he's trying to teach, and let your mind go out ahead. If he has hang-ups or handicaps, pray for him, which normally happens, so you'll be doing a lot of praying for me. Try to understand the message as he sees it and put yourself in his shoes. Many times, brothers are up here, including me, and they have these things they would like to be able to describe and share, but somehow sometimes words don't come as we would like. Sometimes we fail for words. Listen with a humble mind. You may be ahead of the preacher in many areas. In other words, sometimes it can happen that we come up here and we preach something that we don't have in our life yet. Should we not preach it then? Maybe we shouldn't, but I know in my life I have. I've come up here and I've been aspiring for things that I haven't attained. So it's easy for you to be back there, and it takes humility. But here's this preacher up here, and he's preaching about things that he doesn't have in his own life. And it can just shut you off and think, well, he don't even know how to do this. Why is he preaching it? But God can still show you all the things you have yet to master and accomplish in your own life. You know, when we stop and think what we've really accomplished for God, any of us, it should be completely humbling. We've done almost nothing for God. We've done almost nothing for Him. The heart name of the preacher is not to shout from a lofty pedestal, but to be God's man and speak God's message by His Spirit. So may we learn to listen with a humble mind, even if there's areas in your life that you're way ahead of the preacher. May we always recognize our need of God, our need for His forgiveness, and our need for more of God's power and more of His life in our lives. We all have much room for that. And may we just continue to reach for a deeper eternal perspective. As we said last week, it's good to have a hold of God, but it's more important that God can completely get a hold of us and move our lives in the light of eternity, because our time is so short. When the light of God shines into our soul through the sermon, don't be a mirror and reflect it instantly towards someone else. Take it into yourself. As the word in Psalm says, Psalm 139 verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, not everyone else, and lead me in the way everlasting." So when the light of God shines in, receive it, embrace it, and let it do its work. Listen with an open mind. Don't assume you're always right. It is possible that we may be seeing it wrong. It is possible maybe the speaker is wrong too. It is possible the speaker may be wrong. He would not be human if he were never wrong. But still, shouldn't preaching at times affront our notions and crash into our narrow-mindedness and compel us to open our eyes wider? Shouldn't preaching do that? Somehow the brotherhood needs to continue on to higher ground. It seems there's always uncharted territory that is ahead. If we don't conquer this territory, it seems like we end up losing our way. As Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." We need to continue as a brotherhood on to the path, on to the road of growth. We've had a burden for this for years. So many churches, they start and there's no promise in maintaining. We have to continue to move forward, closer to God, understanding His work in a deeper way, helping more people into eternity, helping more souls find their way. We have to continue on as a brotherhood, or else we will end up losing our way. As this little account here says, it's a very little account. It's talking about rivers, but it's speaking to us. It says, rivers do not grow shallower as they roll away from their sources, and we shouldn't either. We shouldn't, as we get closer to our source, we shouldn't grow shallower. Rivers do not grow shallower as they roll away from their sources. And so it has been well said, the heart's river ought not to be an exception. It should flow on, widening and deepening till it meets the ocean and mingles with it. And that is what we as a brotherhood need to continue to seek God for. Another account here that goes with that. The enemy will advance if Christians do not. The Confederate General Longstreet, during the Battle of Gettysburg, had one of his generals come up to him and report that he was unable to bring up his men again so as to charge the enemy. "Very well," said the general. "Just let them remain where they are. The enemy is going to advance and will spare you the trouble of having to bring your men up." And that is what happens to the church when we don't go on. When we don't go on and advance towards the enemy, if we stay here, the enemy advances on us. So back to how to listen to his sermon. If all that his sermon does is pat us on our back, how much value does it really have for our lives? How much good is it? Is it okay for a sermon to rock the boat and challenge our complacency? Is it okay that God gets our attention through a sermon? One sure way of getting a lot out of a sermon is to help make the sermon. And you know, attentive listeners, you have no idea what it does and the thoughts it can bring into the speaker's heart and what it can do. You have so much that you do every Sunday to help make the sermon. I really believe you do. When you come with a hunger and thirst and you're excited about hearing a message, so much can be done to pull the sermon from the heart of the speaker. We have no idea how powerful that can be. Here's some more keys. I think I have, not sure how many points I have. I think we'll just share them here. But we're getting on towards closing here. Maybe, should we all stand a little bit? Would that be a blessing? Been a little bit of a long day. How to listen to a sermon. More keys for getting the most advantage from sermons. A, come to hear. Not out of curiosity, but from a sincere desire to know and do our godly duty. Can you imagine if every church in America, if everyone walked in, they had a complete, true, sincere heart to walk into that church and to know with all their heart what the will of God was for their life? That would change our country. If everyone that went to church would come from a sincere desire to know the will of God and to do it. You can be seated. To enter God's house merely to have our ears tickled or our minds entertained and to not have our hearts transformed and reformed must certainly be highly displeasing to the Most High God as well as unprofitable to ourselves. B. Give diligent heed to the things that are spoken from the Word of God. If an earthly king were to issue a royal proclamation and the life and death of his subjects entirely depended on performing or not performing its conditions, how eager would they be to hear what those conditions were? Shall we not pay the same respect to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and lend an attentive ear to his ministers when they are declaring his name? How our pardon, peace, and happiness may be gotten. C. Do not entertain even the least dislike towards the speaker. You know, it's easy for us without realizing it to have something in our heart towards the one speaking. And that was the reason Jesus Christ himself could not do many mighty works nor preach to any great effect among those of his own country, for they were offended at him. Take heed, therefore, and be aware of entertaining any dislike against those whom the Holy Ghost has made you overseers over you. Consider that all men are of like passions with ourselves. Even though at times we hear a person teaching others to do what he has not learned himself, yet there is no reason for rejecting his teaching. Okay, I didn't remember. I put this back up here in my notes. For ministers speak not their own, but Christ in Christ's name. And we know Jesus commanded the people to do whatever the scribes and Pharisees should say unto them, even though they did not do themselves what they said. I think I had some things unorganized here. Then Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be bore, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. D. Be careful not to depend or pull one speaker more highly than the other than you ought. It was a fault which the great apostle of the Gentiles condemned in the Corinthians. For whereas one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal, says he? For who is Paul and who is Apollos, but instruments in God's hands by whom ye believed? Are not all ministers sent forth to be ministering ambassadors to those who are to be the heirs of salvation? And are they not all, therefore, greatly to be esteemed for their work's sake? E. May we make particular application to our own hearts of everything that is delivered. When our Savior was discoursing at the Last Supper with his beloved disciples and foretold that one of them should betray him, each of them immediately applied it to his own heart and said, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And I think many times that's an amazing spirit, an amazing attitude to have in our heart. As we're listening to the Word of God, it's like, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? It's a beautiful way to listen to the Word of God. We could read that scripture. Oh, that we in like manner, when we're listening to preaching about sin, or what our calling is, or what the will of God is, instead of crying, this was intended for such and such a one, instead we turn our thoughts inward and say, Lord, is this for me? Is it I, Lord? We would get much more benefit from sermons if we would practice this. F. Pray to the Lord before, during, and after every sermon that he would endue the minister with power to speak, to grant you a will and the ability to put into practice what he shall show from the book of God, from the Bible, to be your calling in the will of God. As the Word of God says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, I wonder to be on the low side. If you take a pound of fish food, and at one time I had thought it was about the fish gain about 3/4 of a pound of weight from 1 pound of fish food. I think it's somewhere close to that, and that's an amazing conversion. For other animals, it's not near that good. But I had to think of. It's easy for us to listen to a sermon and just feel like there's hardly any value that I got from it. But sometimes we don't know what all is happening deep within, in our heart. Sometimes we don't know and understand. So we shouldn't be discouraged if our growth in grace and knowledge is is not moving as fast as we think it should. In closing, like I said, this sermon, probably no different than many of the others. No sermon ever turns out and accomplishes quite what the preacher envisioned and hoped for as he prepared. Somehow, we as men, the message can never, the message can always be perfected. Our mode of delivery can always be enhanced. And it never accomplishes everything that we would like for it to. And we're never able to say all the things we'd like to say. And we never know all the things we'd like to know. And we never understand all about God the way we would like to. And but we will continue to always do our best in that way. But I would say a sermon birthed in hope and prayer, and a sermon listened to in a godly, prayerful way, in a godly environment, and a sermon that is received by sympathetic, humble, cooperative, and open minds. This sermon can be a seed that is sown on well and prepared soil, and it's watered and charged with the Spirit of God. And this sermon will spring up bearing life and much fruit in many lives. It can be a challenge to God's people to pick out treasures from an earthen pot. And that's what we are. We're just earthen vessels up here. But may God continue to use the foolishness of preaching for many years to come. How? To listen to a sermon. There's many more practical things that could have been added in to this, but we'll leave that with you. And I just want to close by saying, let us remember to dig deep. Let us remember that God is not found on the surface. What of God that we experience on the surface is God is so, so much deeper than what we experience on the surface. And many times sermons can be taken and we can hear them, but if we allow them, if we refine them, if we regurgitate them in our lives, many times they can go much deeper with a little help from us and how we hear and how we apply it to our lives. So the Lord bless you. There is actually some more things here that I think I'll just share here. I kind of forgot. Some of this I think if we're going to profit by hearing, it is required that we hear with attention, that we hear with impartiality, and that we hear with meekness, and that we hear the word with an actual intention of practicing what we hear. Some things that we should do after hearing the word, we should meditate on it in our hearts. There's a scripture in Psalms, there's many scriptures we could go to about meditating. That we should talk about it with others. And again, the main thing is that we practice it in our lives. So I believe that on the great day of judgment, when all of humanity stand before God, there will be a line that one of the great dividing lines among all of humanity will be for those that lived, built their life on the Word of God, and those that knew about the Word but had no power or strength to change their life or to build their life upon it. So hearing, how to listen to sermon, hearing is, again, these that we hear with an actual intention of putting to practice what we hear. So the Lord's blessings to each one. We love and appreciate you so much.